celebrated a birthday last night, my beautiful wife. And she got another year younger yesterday. But we went out to dinner last night, and it was funny. As we got out of the car, we went to a place, and I said, let's do some valet parking. And they were fighting with this guy across the street, arguing, yelling back and forth. I thought, why engage with a guy that's walking away? But he kept turning around and yelling back, nasty stuff, of course. And they kept saying, keep on walking, just this back and forth arguing. I thought, why are you doing that? Just let the man keep walking. He'll run out of stuff to say in a minute here. You ever think when you have people and just arguing and arguing, and you just be quiet, eventually they'll run out of steam. And I thought, let the guy go. What's he doing here? And I thought, now if he came over here, they said he was over here earlier. I thought, well, okay, I'd fight to protect my wife, my life, my family. My question today is, what do you fight for? My question and sermon is, what do you fight for? Now, this seemed kind of silly for them to be arguing with this guy. Needless to say, by the time we came out, he was long gone. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we'll find out, what does the Bible say we should fight for? And what does the Bible say we should not fight for? 1 Timothy chapter 6. I thought, now Paul took young Timothy to Ephesus, and he left him there. Said, here, you're in charge of the church. I need you to organize it and get things going. And this is earlier in the chapter. But he left him at the church and said, I want you to watch over the church and the leaders and select leaders and teach them. And I want you to model integrity while you're down there, young Timothy. And he encouraged Timothy to be one of example in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and purity. And he reminded him, give attention to the following. Give attention to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. All these are in Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I thought, that's a lot of things to pay attention to. I've got to go here, and you want me to model what? Word, conduct, love, spirit, faith, purity. And while you're modeling these behaviors and characteristics, I want you to focus on reading and exhortation and doctrine. He had a lot of stuff he was responsible for. But that's why Paul is sending him these letters, to encourage him and remind him of doing these things. So, in comparison, how are you doing in these areas? You know me, first 7 months of the year gone, what did you do with them? We asked last month, what did you do with the first half of the year? What did you do to build up the kingdom? What kind of kingdom work did you do? Now, don't think I'm a failure if I did nothing or minimum. But it just means you have work to do to improve. This takes work, church. It's not easy, necessarily. I mean, the basic principle may be easy, but the putting it into action, that's a little tougher. We're supposed to come alive in 25. And some of us haven't even gotten out of bed yet in 25. Oh, no. More than half the year's gone. How are we going to come alive? Well, I'm a late bloomer. I'll come alive in the fall or in the winter time. Let's hope. We got to do more than hope. Are you being and or setting good examples, giving attention to reading, exhortation, and doctrine? Adam, I don't even know what all those words mean. All right, let's write them down and let's find out. Because the Bible told Paul told Timothy, you've got to focus on these things. But it did tell him to model these other aspects of character that build up who and what we are. I know who I am because I know who you are. He has already established himself in us. Are we just waking up each morning and winging it, hoping for the best today? I just got back from Sin City. You got that right. You think that I didn't go there without praying beforehand? Without protecting myself and armoring myself in that town? My boss thought I was an idiot. I did this. I was walking and there was a big pillar. It was as wide as this thing. This is a true story. I'm not exaggerating. And I walked down and I said, oh, avert your eyes. And I just stood there. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm averting my eyes. What's coming down the row. I mean, we got there late at night. We were starving. We ate in the hotel. Oh, my Lord, people. I stood behind that pillar so I didn't have to look at what was coming. Now, I couldn't stand there the whole trip, but man. But I went there and I pray. And I pray for myself and I pray for others. Kisha said, as we started this morning, man, we have a light that we need to take out there in a dark world. And we have people that we need to pray for and protect and show them the way. They're in the schools. They're in the hallways. There's teachers that need that. There's students that need that. Everybody needs that. And I prayed before I left, and I prayed for protection for myself and for others. And at times, we have to avert our eyes. You can't just have good intentions around the people you know and then go out there to people you don't know and those good intentions go out the window. I heard it. I saw it. People I knew and I thought, huh, you sure act crazy in a different town than you normally do. We have to purpose it in our heart that we are different. We were created to be different and to be set apart, to be used for His kingdom work, to have Christ-like character and behavior and attitude. You see, that's the new man we get to put on. But we don't get to take it off when it suits us. Nobody around here, I know I can take this suit jacket off. I can take off the new man. Because nobody knows. We did our work. We did our meals. And I headed up to my room and went to bed. Now, you can just say maybe I'm old. Adam, it wasn't character. You were just old and tired. No, it was both. It was both. But we put on the new man and we don't get to take it off. Now in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I love this. Verse 1 through 5. Better get on the right page here. And it says, let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and His doctrine may not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. He goes on to say, now if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. It says, from such, withdraw yourself. He tells us right there, that's not worth fighting for, those little arguments. And being with those people and being around those people. Remove yourself. Don't fight about those things. Now he goes on in verse 6 and he says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Don't fight for riches. It doesn't say you can't have them. Don't fight for them. Don't fight for riches. Why not? Many have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It's a heavy weight. Don't fight for those things. Now verse 11 through 16 says this. But you, O man of God, flee from these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Basically, they might as well just said, fight for the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate and King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and glory and everlasting power. Amen. Okay, do fight the good fight of faith. He says these other things aren't worth it. You get into all these arguments about things. You hang out with other people that are arguing about it. It's not worth fighting for. Don't fight for those things. Don't fight for the riches. But do fight the fight, the good fight of faith. He says, get hold of it. Now, in the very beginning of chapter 6, verse 6, it said, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment. Great. What do those mean? Well, I have this cool little thing at the bottom of my Bible that tells me what those things mean, so I'm going to tell you. Godliness is our desire, listen carefully, our desire to see God's character reproduced in us. Godliness. Whew, I have a desire to see God's character reproduced in me. Not my own character. Lord, with all its flaws, let me take that thing and throw it out. Put that in the donation box. But I have a desire to see God's character inside of me, in me, reproduced. Now you can have godliness without contentment. You can have contentment without godliness. But that's going to be a struggle. Contentment is our acceptance of God's will in our lives. Ooh, boy, we need to learn contentment. Our acceptance of God's will in our lives, not our will. Oh, man, we want so much to do what we want. I must be true to me and all that stuff. Yeah, whatever. Okay. That's all great. And that's great to put on signs and tattoos and bumper stickers and all that stuff. But in the end, it's God's will that we should desire and pursue, and not our own. So when you have both of those, godliness with contentment, Oh, I love that. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You're seeking God's character being reproduced in you. You are seeking God's will in your life. I love it. But godly contentment is a learned response. It is a learned response, and it doesn't happen overnight. It takes work to have godly contentment. It takes effort. And it cannot depend on our environment or our circumstances, or they'll always be unstable. They'll always be unstable if we're depending on it to rely on our environment or our circumstances. Now, at the very end of that, listen to what else we shouldn't be fighting for. Verse 20. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. Guard, protect, fight for what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Falsely called knowledge. We listen to people have this knowledge a lot of times, and we get caught up into that. It says, by professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. And Paul ends his letter to Timothy. He says, Timothy, don't let people pick on you because you're young. Timothy, show these characteristics. Model these behaviors. Study this. Focus on these. Oh, and by the way, guard what was committed to your trust. Well, I tell you what else is coming up this week. My wife and I's anniversary. And I'm going to guard what was committed to my trust. And I'm going to protect that, and I'm going to fight for that trust in the midst of that. Now turn in your Bibles to Jude. Jude, where's that? Go all the way back to Revelation, last book in the Bible, and go to the book right before that. And that's Jude, right before Revelation. You know, and I think in Paul's letter to Timothy, he was encouraging him, but he was also reminding him, and he was also warning him. Hey, you got to look out, Timothy. Protect yourself. Focus on these things so you're not distracted. We can be easily distracted, church. Easily distracted. Now Jude says, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. And in verse 3 he says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Now, what does that mean? Contend earnestly for the faith. Different interpretation, but it says fight for the faith. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness, and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought, man, so many warnings throughout the New Testament telling the disciples and the followers and the leaders, be careful of what you're following. be careful of what's lurking around the corner. Be careful where you go. And be careful who you go with. This is worth fighting for. Our faith. Our faith is worth fighting for. Now, if you flip over to verse 20, and it says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most high faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by flesh." Now, right before that, it talks about all these people and goes through the Old Testament, different people that have struggled, ungodly men, ungodly ways, sinners. And it says, you have to protect yourselves. Verse 16, going backwards a little bit, says, "These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage." We have to protect ourselves from flattering people to gain an advantage, our advantage. And I think we have a responsibility to tell our young people, be careful when people flatter you, because it's for their own gain sometimes. We have to protect ourselves when we flatter people. Try and find out what are our motives from doing that. Verse 17 says, "But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, and how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit." Sometimes we fight to stay in this space with these people. Well, that's exactly what God is telling us. You need to step away from those people. Maybe distance yourself a little bit. And you need to get and fight for a new space with new people. That's the fight worth fighting. I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to upset these people. They've been my friends forever. Those friends may be going down a different path. We have to determine, God, who do you want me to be? Who do you want me to be? Not that person. Not that person. As we talked about a couple weeks, not my parents, not my grandparents, not my brothers, not my sisters. Who do you want me to be? How do I get there? Where's my starting point? Humility is a starting point of any change. Sometimes getting on your knees before God. It ends with this. "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling." Stumbling? Well, remember we've talked about that a few times in the last several weeks. You see, we have a job to protect ourselves from stumbling, to remove stumbling blocks in our path, but we also have a job to remove stumbling blocks from our brother and sister's path. But this one says, "Now to him, God, who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." That is worth fighting for. I ask today, what do you fight for? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for your message of faith, your message that reminds us to fight the good fight of faith. God, as Paul left Timothy to be an example in word and conduct, in love and spirit and faith and purity. God, I pray today that we have those same ideas that we can model, that we can be an example to others. God, today, I know there's people here that want to change. But we don't know what that looks like. What does that change mean? Where does that change fit into my life? Is it something I'm doing that I should stop? Is it something I'm not doing that I should start? God, is it just something in my routine that's out of balance? God, I pray today for restoration. Restoration of families. Restoration of individuals with you. God, those that may have been hurt in the past, my loved ones, my people they don't know, maybe they've been hurt by the church. Maybe they feel left behind or left out, and that you didn't hear them, didn't see them, didn't feel their pain. Church, as we continue praying, would you stand to your feet this morning? God, I pray today that the message from Paul to Timothy goes out to the church body as encouragement, as reminders, as warnings. Today, as you stand there with your eyes closed, you can have them open. Church, I don't care how you come before God. But if you are needing something, would you just raise your hand? You don't have to come forward right now. But would you raise your hand if you're just desiring to change in your life, to do or be different? Church, I'm going to give you just a minute to raise your hand. Keep your hands raised if you would. Because sometimes it takes a minute for that boldness, for that truth to be revealed inside of you. God, I pray for those that are raising their hands, that you reveal yourself to them. God, we pray over them. God, for those that may not have raised their hand but desire that and wanted that boldness but just couldn't find it, Lord, would you see them today as well? Would you hear them today? God, I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.